Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello and welcome to the Chaperer Show, where Viv and Neil explore this big adventure called life. Our guest today is a most important character in my life, someone who I am very, very glad to introduce you to, and his name is Ted Diamond. Ted and I met in London in 1983 at the Constructive Teaching Center, where we both went to finish our training in the Alexander Technique. Hi, Ted. Welcome to the show. I am so glad to have you here.
Hi, Vivian. Thanks for having me. It's really a pleasure.
Oh, it's so fantastic. I've been so excited about this. And you know what? The question is where to begin. And we'll never be able to fit in everything into a single interview. So let's just have some fun, see what we can manage. And what do you think of that?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. So, I've already mentioned that you trained in the Alexander Technique, and that's how we met. So, how about we catapult right to the present and your most recent book? What is it called, and what is it about?
Well, the book is called Sensory Motor Awareness, A Kinesthetic Guide to the Body in Action. And it's a practical manual with a bit of theory in how to become aware of your body kinesthetically in your daily life. So it's related to the Alexander Technique, but it's a kind of a practical curriculum for learning that can be done partly on your own.
Yes, because I took a look at the book, and this is something where instead of saying, look, you have to have the hands-on direction of an Alexander teacher, you're trying to empower people beyond that thought. Is that right?
Yeah. The idea that you understand this, Vivian, you know, going to a teacher makes you a little bit dependent on the teacher, and it also makes the learning process a bit, I don't know, therapeutic in a sense, because you feel like you need the teacher's hands and guidance for help. You become reliant on that. And I've always felt that the subject to be fully articulated needs a curriculum that removes it from the level of being a modality where you get treated or helped and becomes a skill you learn on your own, the same way that you learn to play piano or learn to sing on your own. You need to learn how the body works and how to use it on our own. So, yeah, in that sense, it's...
I understand what you're saying, because that is an issue in the Alexander Technique, isn't it? This dependence on the teacher, as well as a kind of an ethic that you can't do it on your own, whereas Alexander did do it on his own. And it is supposed to be a self-help technique. That's what Walter always said to us. This is a self-help technique. So I can really see why you have tried to do this, and seems like you've succeeded, because you teach online courses as well, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, so, we have a platform, my school, we have an online platform with a number of classes under the Diamond Institute. And, some of them are on anatomy, there's one on the voice, on awareness, and this is sort of the key one, on sensory motor awareness. This is a key topic that we offer, yeah.
And I want to just go back and go over some of the spelling of your name while we're talking, because, of course, it's very easy to get mistaken and think Diamond, D-I-M-O-N, is diamond, and it's not
yeah.
Diamond. It's D-I-M-O-N. And your institute is the Diamond Institute, correct?
Yep, that's right.
And so if they want, people want to find you, and I know that they will want to, it's diamondinstitute.org. So that's very
yep.
important. But the
yep.
other thing that's very important and is the name that you use as an author is your full name, correct?
Yes, Theodore Diamond, but you know me as Ted, yeah.
I know you as Ted, and I think of you as Ted, but if people are looking for your book, they're going to need to use Theodore Diamond, and it's D-I-M-O-N. That's the
right.
magic
yep.
spelling, and I really want to make a point of that, you know, because people have trouble finding me after interviews because they mistake my name for Shapiro, not instead of Shapira, and they
yeah.
leave out the C and things like that, and so
yeah,
I really think we need to take care in the same way as we take all that care with people's neuromuscular systems and the way that they're thinking. I know that if we don't get that thinking correct about your name right away, then that's
yeah.
going to just follow through as a mistake. So thank you. Thanks for letting us clarify that.
Yeah.
I want to put this all in a context as well. How many other books have you written besides Sensory Motor Awareness?
I think 8 other books.
And which are your favorite, Ted, and what are they about?
Well, I've written a very basic book on anatomy that I used in teaching at my school called Anatomy of the Moving Body, and I like it just because of its simplicity. I've written another book called The Body in Motion, which is about anatomical design, because the human body, just when you look at the different systems, like the voids or the hand, or it's the most complex instrument in the universe that we know of, and I love that topic. And and then a third one that I like is The Elements of Skill, where I look at how we learn skills from the point of view of breaking them down to look at it simply as a very basic learning process, because we often don't do that. So those are maybe my three favorites.
And I've listened to you break down the information. For example, in Alexander's books, the information was somewhat opaque to me. And then I'd hear you break it down into its elements. And that's why you say the elements of skill. And I've watched and listened to how you think. And I've actually learned that you've role modeled for me is the way that I'll put it. Because I've actually learned how to not take the complex sentence and try and understand it, but to break it down into its elements of meaning and go from there. And this has been an amazing thing that you've taught me. And it seems that in sensory motor awareness, you're doing the same thing. You're breaking down the elements in a way that becomes understandable and meaningful so that people can understand their bodies and how they function and their postural elements and what we call use elements to actually get a true, meaningful understanding that is empowering. And I've always admired that about you, Ted, and here we are, I don't know how many years later, it's over 40 years later, isn't it?
Yeah, amazing,
yeah. Unbelievable to think that we've known each other that long. So, I could really get involved just in memory lane. But let's not do that. Let's go back to your book.
Yeah.
I picked up something really interesting there, and it said, and I'm quoting from your book on page 9, actually, but why is it necessary to learn to be aware in action? Why not simply treat the problem by learning to stretch or strengthen muscles? What's your answer to that?
Yeah, you know, and you're so familiar with this as well, Vivi. You know, you have a problem, and I don't know, back problem, and you think, well, you know, there must be tight muscles. I need to stretch them, or they're not parts of my body are not strong enough. I need to exercise them. But think about how complex the nervous system is. You know, you do things for 24 hours a day, including when you sleep, completely unaware of what your back muscles are doing. And then we think that if we do 15 minutes of exercise, we're going to fix that. I mean, even if the exercise helped you in the 15 minutes, literally within a minute of going back to your normal way of doing things, your muscles are going to go back to their normal, unhappy state. So if you think about it, exercise or body work simply don't address the problem, because the problem is the use of the system all the time. And the reason we need to learn to become kinesthetically aware is so that the use of that system becomes something that we bring into our awareness as a matter of living, a matter of daily life. And I think that's an amazing discipline in its own right. But if we want to really address the problem, we have to be that broad about it.
And that's the thing, isn't it, that there's the Alexander technique, which is a way of dealing with this, and the neurodynamics, as you've called it, and the sensory motor awareness, as you've called it. But the Alexander technique is part of something bigger, isn't it? And that's what you also wanted to understand better. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, you know, the immediate problem that I was faced with when I was 19 is I hurt my back, and I was in very good shape, so there was nothing, you know, wrong with me at one level. So I didn't, you know, feel I needed treatment, but I needed to understand my back problem as something that I was not aware of. I had to figure out what that was. But at a broader level, I was interested in the problem of becoming mindful. I was interested in contemplative or Eastern, you know, traditions, but they were aiming towards something spiritual, usually had a sort of a broader aim. And I was interested to begin with, in the immediate problem of how do you become more aware of what you're doing in daily life. To me, that was the first problem of mindfulness. And the only place I saw that addressed really was in certain martial arts, where the martial artist was, you know, martial arts, you have to learn to become aware. I mean, you're not going to just close your eyes and meditate and think that that's somehow going to make you aware when you walk down the street. I wanted to know how to be aware when I walk down the street. And this, to me, this whole subject is foundational to that process, like a missing link in the whole problem of mindfulness study. That's my sort of larger passion, this whole subject.
And is that where this all fits? Is it into the mindfulness field, or is it somewhere else as well?
Well, you know, the way I frame it, it's part of that larger mindfulness field. That's sort of this is sort of the big missing link. And the sensory motor awareness is the actual discipline, you know, that you need to learn in order to learn how to be mindful when you're doing things in daily life. So it's part of that, a key part of that.
And then you've gone about systematically seeing how to apply this in different ways. I mean, if we look at all the different books that you've written, what are the elements of skill? If you want to become skillful at something, how do you put your awareness and your thinking into application so that it actually benefits you? And then you have that for the voice as well, don't you?
Yeah. That goes to the issue of finding a curriculum. And I wanted to share this with you because it's sort of interesting. You know, even before we met, when I was 21 and I was finishing college and I wasn't interested in what I was learning in college, and I wanted to study this, identify this field. And when I first began studying kinesthetic methods like the Alexander technique, I thought that they were fascinating, but I couldn't understand why, as we've talked about, you couldn't do it on your own. What was the curriculum? What were the steps? Why couldn't someone explain that to me? And it's taken all these years, but slowly it dawned on me that there were definable steps. You could articulate what they were, and that became the curriculum. I've taught for, like you, Vivian, I've taught for 40 years now, but I always felt that there were missing pieces in how I taught. And this book is sort of like the curriculum that I needed to complete how I presented my work as a teacher.
And it's a very important book. And as soon as I held it, the weight of it, I mean, the physical feeling of your book, from that emanated information. I don't know how you do it, Ted. It's like an alchemy that you do. But that is the beauty of the way that you think, and then you are so painstaking about getting it written. And in fact, I'd just like to to divert a little bit, because your process is very, very interesting to me. And you are addressing process. You're addressing the process of awareness. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to talk about how you even got some of the parts of your different books written, because your books are very technical, and yet you had to be so creative to actualize them. So I wonder if you could share some of those stories about, you know, the sculpting and the molding and the way you worked with the artists and so on. I think that that is fascinating.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know a bit of the story, but when I was doing my voice book, I'd written two actually on the voice, but I guess the second one, I'm doing the anatomy of the voice, and I have no formal training in the anatomy of the throat and the larynx and the structures of the voice. I'm really kind of self-taught in that area. But I remember when I found my wonderful illustrator, David Brown, who's illustrated several of my books, and someone different for the new book is Jackie Collins. But anyway, when I found David Brown to do some of the anatomical drawings, and I told him I wanted to try to look at the larynx, he came to New York, visited me in New York, and we had a couple of days set aside, and he brought two bunks, big chunks of clay, and he said, let's mold and sculpt the structures that make up the larynx. It was totally new for me. I hadn't done this since I was a little kid, where I'd worked with clay, and it was part of a kind of a complete adventure in trying to figure out what we wanted to say and how to say it, because he knew that I had a certain kind of knowledge, and he knew that I didn't know how to communicate it, so we started working on it, and it was a wonderful kind of adventure. And that's sort of a fun part of how that book came about, apart from all the research that went into it. Yeah, so.
And the illustrations for your current book?
Yeah, they're by Jackie Collins, and that was another kind of learning curve. She is an animator. She does two-dimensional animations, often looks like cartoons. But she is so whimsical and creative that I thought this book, which was meant to be for students, meant to be user-friendly, and I wanted the illustrations to be light and simple, I thought she'd be a good and they didn't need to be technical or anatomical, per se. So we started on the process in a similar way. I just said, Jackie, I want to try to, show someone walking or something. And she'd say, okay, what do you want to show? And I would walk and show her something. And I'd say, do you think you could show the leg swinging here or the arm swinging there? And slowly we just began to fashion different illustrations. And it felt messy, and I didn't know if it would work. But we just slowly just went through the different areas that I teach until we came up with different parts of the book. And then I saw it coming together and realized at a certain point that this was a doable thing. So that's how that happened,
And what did you learn from these two different artist approaches? What insights did you get?
From them as artists? You mean from their...
No, insights into the sensory motor awareness or into the larynx or whatever. Was it an insightful process for you once you worked with the artists? Like a feedback loop.
The voice book, I learned a lot about just how the voice works that hasn't been looked at. I learned to trust myself. I even went to see the head anatomist at a major, teaching hospital here in New York City. And I shared with him some of my ideas, and he agreed that, that some of this stuff hasn't been modeled, hasn't been looked at. So I learned to sort of trust that, I had my own perspective and I could make sense of it. And I guess that's true of the new book as well. I realized, I think a lot of writing is learning, challenging yourself and then learning to stick to what you believe and see if what you think is true really is true. And you have to dig pretty deep to find that. And then you come out and say, yeah, I think I had a good idea there. So I learned a lot about my own thinking and my own convictions,
You're so modest. I think I had a good idea there. It's always fascinating for me to listen to you, Ted, because you're just so meticulous in these details, and you're so humble about the whole process. When you say you're digging deep, you always dig deep. You're digging way, way deeper than anybody else I know in all the 40 years since, and it's more than that, that we've known each other I've never met anyone who digs as deep as you do. So I would like us just to go over your information again so that people can get hold of you.
Okay.
If you can just say your institute's name, your full name as an author, the title of your book.
Yeah, so the institute is Diamond Institute, like Simon with a D, D-I-M-O-N Institute, one word, .org. You can find the courses on the website when you go to that website. The book, and my name is Ted Diamond or Theodore Diamond, if you look it up, look me up as an author. And the book, you could find it in any bookstore or Barnes & Nobles or Amazon. So anywhere where books are sold, you could find the book. And the book is Sensory Motor Awareness, A Kinesthetic Guide to the Body in Action. And,
absolutely fantastic. So I just want to let everybody know that we are listening to the Chakra Show, and we are speaking to Ted Diamond. This is Theodore Diamond, and the book that we're talking about is Sensory Motor Awareness, A Kinesthetic Guide to the Body in Action. It's an extraordinary book by an extraordinary author. I can personally recommend this from lots of experience. And I would like you all to join us again after the break, where we'll be asking Ted some more information about his process, his own learning, how to develop awareness. These are very fascinating topics. Please join us after the break.
Imagine taking a journey with metaphysical teachers and spirit guides right in your own home. Well, now you can with Vivian Chopra's book, Everyday Magic. Everyday Magic helps you understand your life from new perspectives as it guides you to feel motivated to take control of your life and your future. Get Everyday Magic today at Amazon.com, or for more information, visit Chopra.com or call 513-891-8062. That's 513-891-8062.
VMware is a fresh perspective for virtualization on the cloud. Shaping the future, this all-in-one platform delivers virtual cloud service on any cloud. Visit our HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on VMware.
CrystalHealingTechniques.com is the place to learn crystal healing, and there's even some free courses and certification. CrystalHealingTechniques.com has courses from beginner to advanced, and you'll learn from a master crystal healer. Explore new and unique material as you learn from the amazing award-winning textbook, The Complete Guide to Crystal Surgery. So discover the world of healing through crystals at CrystalHealingTechniques.com. Visit CrystalHealingTechniques.com or call 513-891-8062.
If you're not in the U.S., listen up. SureTrader is one of the most trusted and reliable names in share trading. With 6-to-1 leverage and other perks, SureTrade is the best for penny stocks and day trades. To find out more, visit our advertiser page and click on the SureTrader banner.
If you like this program and you want to hear more of the Chopras, then tune in to their YouTube channel called Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. There's demos, meditations, interviews, and more on their YouTube channel, Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. So relax, enjoy, and learn unique material as you watch the Chopras in action. Visit today on YouTube and remember that channel, Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. Do it now. There's a respected metaphysical academy that's been around for over 22 years, and it's still going strong. If you're interested in energy healing, crystal healing, developing intuition, or shamanism, then the Four Winds Academy for the Healing Arts and Sciences is exactly right for you. With in-person and online classes and full certifications, their experienced teachers work with you and take an interest in your progress. To find out more, visit fourwindsacademy.org. That's the number 4WindsAcademy.org, or call 513-891-8062.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Hello and welcome back to the Shapira Show. Our guest today is none other than my friend and colleague, Ted Diamond, who has written a grand total of 8 books, with his most recent one being Sensory Motor Awareness, A Kinesthetic Guide to the Body in Action. Ted, I love to hear the personal history that has led to this present moment. Can you share what's your story? How did you become interested in the Alexander technique?
I became interested because I had back trouble when I was 19. I was in very good shape. I had run 2 marathons and was very athletic. And yet here I was suffering with back trouble and afraid that I wouldn't be able to lead a normal life. That's what led me into this subject. And I kind of transferred the discipline I'd had about athletics to the subject of kinesthetic awareness, and I began studying different methods. That's what led me to it. You know? And I was also fascinated with it. In a way, it was an extension of my interest in the body and how it worked.
And then what did you think when you started to experience? Was it the Alexander technique where you began with trying to help your back, or was it something else?
I tried a bunch of other things that didn't help, like relaxing, you know, and I didn't know what I was doing, and it just sort of almost got me worse. But it was when I found the Alexander technique, I'd heard about it in college. When I started having lessons, I knew almost immediately that this might be able to help me.
So you could recognize it because there was a kind of truth immediately that was apparent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, it makes me want to laugh because you said you tried a bunch of other things and they almost made you worse. And probably did, could have, some of them probably did make you worse. And it's a one-line story, isn't it? I mean, we could write volumes about the sort of wrong track stuff that's out there. I nearly burst out laughing when you said that. I can't resist illuminating that point.
Yeah, you know, and Vivian, it's funny because one of the things that happened in my very first Alexander lessons, the teacher looked at me and she said, yeah, I could see you're doing kind of harmful things. And I couldn't understand how she could see, you know, what could be harmful. I thought, well, wait a minute, don't you have to, like, you know, examine my spine or my muscles or my back and kind of go in the body in some way? And I asked her that, and she said, no, you could have a gorilla suit on and I'd be able to see this. And I thought that was so funny. But the fact that she could see that I was doing something harmful and the fact that I had no idea what that was, that intrigued me. And that's the whole subject of kinesthetic awareness, because we're designed, in a way, not to be aware. You know, we're designed so that if you want to do something, your body just does it for you. That's partly a good thing, but it also becomes a liability, because if you're doing something harmfully, that very design attribute is going to get you in trouble. Now you're getting to your goal all the time, efficiently, in a certain way, but without any attention to yourself. And that's what this subject is about. It's about being aware of the instrument that does the doing, you know.
Now that's a tight sentence. Being aware of the instrument that does the doing. Being aware of the instrument that does the doing. That's a tight sentence there, Ted. That's another thing that we could be writing volumes on, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it is. It's hilarious. I mean, when I was studying psychology, you know, and I was young. I was 18, 19, 20 years old studying psychology, and people say, oh, you're studying psychology, and they'd grab a pillow and, like, cover themselves up to hide from me as if I could tell things just because I was studying psychology. And I just think, what are they thinking? What do they think you can tell about somebody by studying psychology? But then we go and train in the Alexander technique, and suddenly just by looking at people, oh my goodness, the amount that we can tell just by looking at them, isn't it amazing?
Yeah, amazing.
Nobody hides from me if I say I'm an Alexander teacher. They don't know what they don't realize what I can see.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And then they don't even necessarily believe us, but that's just the way it is. So anyway, did it help you with your back?
Yeah, not immediately, but slowly I could begin to, you know, become more aware of what I was doing, and I was also able to you know, now I could look at the problem of what it meant to relax muscles, but not in a kind of arbitrary and aimless way, but in a very organized way. And, you know, the book deals, I talk about that in the book. You should, we all need to be able to use our awareness, but not just, you know, I didn't, it's just trying to relax all my muscles wasn't going to help. That just collapses everything. And then when you go back to activity, sometimes you end up in worse shape because now you're overcompensating. Now I could use my awareness in a constructive way so that I could begin to feel my back working in a way that it hadn't worked since I was a little kid. And, you know, that really intrigued me and fascinated me, and I thought there's a whole field there that needs to be articulated that never, that hasn't been, including, you know, the subject of child development. Because how is it that we let children develop harmfully and have no real awareness of that subject?
This is true, and we have to go and undo things that we learned in childhood. I mean, you used this for learning to play the piano differently, didn't you?
Yeah, because, you know, I played piano since I was 6 years old. For many years, I had lessons. But by the time I was in college, same, and when I was having my back problem, I couldn't sit at the piano. I was tied up in knots, and I was in pain, and playing piano was painful. Sitting at a typewriter, in those days, I was sitting at a typewriter to do my papers for college, and I was in trouble, and I couldn't even sit comfortably.
So, typewriters, you're turning us into dinosaurs.
I know. Well, no. True.
Yeah, then there's a lot of similarity between sitting at the piano and sitting at the typewriter, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And what was interesting for me was I learned to play the piano before I learned the Alexander technique, but I learned to type after I learned the Alexander technique. So I learned to type in a completely different way. And then I used to see these dynamics also when I was teaching Taekwondo. And if a child learned the form, you know, which is a series of movements, when they were 6 years old, even when they were 10, they would do it like a six-year-old unless I retaught them.
Yeah.
So those patterns that we lay down when we're learning and we're not even fully coordinated yet, they stick with us. So I have that for the way that I write, but I don't have it for the way that I type.
Right. Yeah, and, totally makes sense.
And that has always been of interest to me, is when you have this sensory motor awareness that you're offering people in your book, then you learn to do things in a completely different manner. And so it changes the whole playing field.
Yeah, and it makes the process, you know, pleasurable again.
That's right.
Instead of being painful and difficult, you enjoy it, and you enjoy it as a thing in itself, you know.
Exactly, so, which after all is what we should be doing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Ted, let's go over your details again so that people know how to get hold of you, and if they want to do your online course, they can consider it, you know, for when it's timing that suits them. Let's go over that.
Yeah, the website is diamondinstitute.org. The book is Sensory Motor Awareness, Kinesthetic Guide to the Body in Action. My name is Theodore Diamond. And I want to make sure that I don't forget to thank you for having me on your show, Vivian. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, Ted, I can't tell you. I'm so excited. I think we should talk about some more of your books and more of this in more detail, because it's really, really wonderful. And, of course, it's such an important topic to me, to you, and to everybody who has a body. It is an important topic. So thank you, everyone, for joining us here. We've been speaking to Theodore Diamond, author of Sensory Motor Awareness, A Kinesthetic Guide to the Body in Action. And after the break, Neil will be bringing in his spirit report. Be sure to join us.
CrystalHealingTechniques.com is the place to learn crystal healing, and there's even some free courses and certification. CrystalHealingTechniques.com has courses from beginner to advanced, and you'll learn from a master crystal healer. Explore new and unique material as you learn from the amazing award-winning textbook, The Complete Guide to Crystal Surgery. So discover the world of healing through crystals at CrystalHealingTechniques.com. Visit CrystalHealingTechniques.com or call 513-891-8062.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
If you like this program and you want to hear more of the Chopras, then tune in to their YouTube channel called Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. There's demos, meditations, interviews, and more on their YouTube channel, Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. So relax, enjoy, and learn unique material as you watch the Chopras in action. Visit today on YouTube and remember that channel, Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. Do it now.
Discover the world's largest anti-aging organization, Life Extension. For the best information, vitamins, and supplements, you just can't beat Life Extension. To start extending your life, go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Life Extension banner.
There's a respected metaphysical academy that's been around for over 22 years, and it's still going strong. If you're interested in energy healing, crystal healing, developing intuition, or shamanism, then the Four Winds Academy for the Healing Arts and Sciences is exactly right for you. With in-person and online classes and full certifications, their experienced teachers work with you and take an interest in your progress. To find out more, visit fourwindsacademy.org. That's the number 4windsacademy.org. Or call 513-891-8062. Imagine taking a journey with metaphysical teachers and spirit guides right in your own home. Well, now you can with Vivian Chopra's book, Everyday Magic. Everyday Magic helps you understand your life from new perspectives as it guides you to feel motivated to take control of your life and your future. Get Everyday Magic today at Amazon.com, or for more information, visit Chopra.com or call 513-891-8062. That's 513-891-8062.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Hi there. You're listening to the Chopra Show, and I'm Neil, bringing you reports of my shamanic journeys to the spirit realm and the guidance that the benevolent spirits are giving us. So, for today's session, rather than reporting on a shamanic journey as I usually do, I'll describe to you briefly what a shamanic journey is, and hopefully this will interest you enough so that you will want to learn how to do a shamanic journey yourself. That is the beauty of learning how to do a shamanic journey, that rather than always going to a shamanic practitioner or shaman and asking them to journey on your behalf, although this is a very, very valuable thing to do, especially for healing, but rather than that, or in addition to that, you can learn how to journey for yourself. And generally the shamanic spirit realm is described as having three territories or worlds. So there's the middle world, and that is where we are right now, our everyday consciousness and reality that's described as the middle world. However, when one goes on a shamanic journey, one usually travels either upwards to the reality that's described as the upper world, or one travels downwards to the spirit realm that's described as the lower world. And both these worlds are essential aspects of the shamanic journeying landscape, where one can encounter and engage with spirit, because, after all, that is the fundamental aspect of journeying, connecting deliberately, reliably, and repeatedly with these benevolent spirits of the upper world and the lower world, and being able to take questions and requests to them and ask them to bring their healing, their compassion, benevolence, their kindness and love to help us with our everyday lives in the ordinary reality of the middle world. So you could say that that is the essence of the shamanic journey, to deliberately, repeatedly develop a deepening relationship with the spirit world. And what is absolutely fascinating is the way these worlds present themselves and how we describe them. So when one does the shamanic journey and one goes to what's described as the lower world, one listens to a continuous drumbeat. And this is fundamental to helping transform one's consciousness from ordinary, everyday consciousness to the non-ordinary state of consciousness, which is usually described as a shamanic trance. And then one goes down and down and down and down and finally emerges into a completely new landscape, and that being the landscape of the lower world. And one goes out into that landscape, looks around, explores, sees what it's like, and meets spirits. And the lower world is inhabited by the compassionate, loving spirits. And the fascinating thing about the spirits in the lower world is that they usually present themselves in an animal form. So when we meet a spirit in the lower world, it's most likely that it will show up in an animal form. However, it could also be in the form of a plant or a stone. Then when one travels to the upper world, one goes into the shamanic state of consciousness. This is essential, the trance state of non-ordinary consciousness. And here one deliberately travels upwards. So one goes up and up and up and up and finally emerges into a completely new landscape. So not at all like where one started from in the middle world, but this is a completely new landscape. And that territory is called the upper world. So one has traveled up to get there. And the fascinating thing about traveling on a shamanic journey to the upper world and meeting benevolent spirits in the upper world is that they present themselves usually in a more human-like form, a recognizable human-like form, as opposed to the animal form that the spirits present themselves as in the lower world. And this is also the territory, the upper world is the territory, where one can meet ancestral spirits. And that's a fascinating aspect of journeying to the upper world. But again, let me emphasize that one is going to visit spirits that are loving, compassionate, and benevolent. And if we establish a good connection with them, we will get enormous help and guidance from them. So not only is it a perfectly safe thing to do a shamanic journey, but it's actually essential for our well-being to do a journey. And my own teacher, Michael Harner, who established the Foundation for Shamanic Studies, and you can find that as shamanism.org, he would often say with his smile, he had a great sense of humor, he would say that people would sometimes ask him, isn't it dangerous to do a shamanic journey and go visit the spirits? And he would say, on the contrary, it's dangerous to not do a shamanic journey. And the point being that to not journey, one is depriving oneself of extremely useful help and healing and guidance for our everyday middle world lives. So why deprive ourselves of that? And secondly, for the benefit of our own spiritual evolution, it's essential to have a regular and deepening contact with the spirits and learn from them. So when we journey in shamanism to get help and to be empowered, and that's a very important concept in shamanism, to have power, which leads to health and efficiency, we also get very, very importantly to develop on the path of our spiritual evolution. During a journey, one listens to a very rhythmic soundtrack, like a drum beat, and this helps one shift one's consciousness. Then, in your intention, in your mind's eye, you imagine or visualize putting yourself in a starting place, like a tree that you can climb up, or a hole in the ground from which you can go down, and then you go either up to the upper world or down to the lower world, and then have these encounters with the benevolent, compassionate, loving spirits. And why would I not want to do that? And why would you not want to learn how to do that for yourself? Thank you very much. You're listening to The Chakra Show, and when we return from our break, Vivian will continue with her very inspiring messages from crystals.
If you like this program and you want to hear more of the chakras, then tune in to their YouTube channel called Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. There's demos, meditations, interviews, and more on their YouTube channel, Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. So relax, enjoy, and learn unique material as you watch the chakras in action. Visit today on YouTube and remember that channel, Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. Do it now.
You have too little time to shop, so try Farm Fresh to You. They deliver organic food the way nature intended, delivered straight to your home or office, economically. Visit our web advertiser page and click on Farm Fresh to You now.
There's a respected metaphysical academy that's been around for over 22 years, and it's still going strong. If you're interested in energy healing, crystal healing, developing intuition, or shamanism, then the Four Winds Academy for the Healing Arts and Sciences is exactly right for you. With in-person and online classes and full certifications, their experienced teachers work with you and take an interest in your progress. To find out more, visit fourwindsacademy.org. That's the number 4windsacademy.org. Or call 513-891-8062.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
Imagine taking a journey with metaphysical teachers and spirit guides right in your own home. Well, now you can with Vivian Chopra's book, Everyday Magic. Everyday Magic helps you understand your life from new perspectives as it guides you to feel motivated to take control of your life and your future. Get Everyday Magic today at Amazon.com, or for more information, visit Chopra.com or call 513-891-8062. That's 513-891-8062. CrystalHealingTechniques.com is the place to learn crystal healing, and there's even some free courses and certification. CrystalHealingTechniques.com has courses from beginner to advanced, and you'll learn from a master crystal healer. Explore new and unique material as you learn from the amazing award-winning textbook, The Complete Guide to Crystal Surgery. So discover the world of healing through crystals at CrystalHealingTechniques.com. Visit CrystalHealingTechniques.com or call 513-891-8062.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Hello and welcome back to the Chakra Show, where Viv and Neil explore this big adventure called life. This is the part of the show where I, Vivian, talk to and about crystals. Our crystal guest today is selenite, which is a form of gypsum. Technically, selenite refers to a specific formation of gypsum, but in the metaphysical world, selenite is used generically to refer to Saturn spar and all the other forms of gypsum, all with the same chemical formula, though not the same habit. Habit refers to the shape that the crystal grows into. I looked it up on Wikipedia, and it said selenite, Saturn spar, desert rose, and gypsum flower are crystal habit varieties of the mineral gypsum. All varieties of gypsum, including selenite and alabaster, are composed of calcium sulfate dihydrate with the same chemical formula. I think it's just interesting because if you look at a piece of selenite, it's just smooth, white, and shiny. But if you've ever seen a desert rose, it is a completely different formation. And it looks like a flower, which is why it's called a desert rose. So one thing looks like a shiny log, and the other thing looks like a flower, and they both have exactly the same chemical formula. This is one of the beauties of the mineral kingdom. Selenite has two features that are very appealing to me in crystal healing. The first is that selenite is a very soft mineral. It's only a 2 on the Mohs scale, which makes it ideal for working on the energy body. The second feature is that selenite is very white. This whiteness means that it can be used in a white stone layout for raising vibrational frequency, where it makes a unique contribution. This unique contribution comes from the interplay between its softness, its whiteness, and its shininess. The softness gives it the capacity to penetrate the energy field and the energy body more readily. Its whiteness gives it the capacity to infuse white light into the energy field, raising vibrational frequency. Its shininess gives it the capacity to project the white light outwards in a radiant field that is powerfully uplifting beyond just one person's aura. A word of caution. Selenite is so soft you must not wet it because water will mark selenite and alter its appearance from shiny to matte. After selenite gave me this particular sentence, it asked me to pause and wait for the next piece of the message. Then later, the rest of the message came, and selenite said this. When you were doing your research, you came across a reference that said selenite is liquid light. That description has got the metaphors a little confused. The reason that water can mark selenite is because selenite is watery, so the liquid part is correct attribution. Selenite does have a liquid or watery energy, which means it can flow easily and can enter through microscopic spaces. That is why selenite can so easily gain access to and affect the energy body. As an aside from me, I should explain that the energy body is made up of liquid light, and by that I mean that the etheric tissue of the energy body can flow around an obstacle, and an obstacle does not throw a shadow as per sunlight. The energy body is liquid light and is not usually visible in the material world to the untrained brain. But selenite is a material and is visible. There is something additional between the liquid aspect and the light aspect because, yes, it is true that selenite radiates this fantastic white light. So that, too, is a correct attribution. You see, it was a little confusing, the whole thing, because it's right and yet it's not perfectly right. As I puzzled through this, I ended up reaching these words. What is it, selenite? What are you? This feels like a horrible riddle. Selenite answered, well, quartz means frozen water, so I guess you can describe me as frozen light. I'm basically a package of solidified white light. I am watery, yes, but not in liquid form, in solid form. That's why I have such a spectrum of healing properties, because I can quickly flow in and upgrade the vibrational frequency of any area that is sagging, due specifically to low vibrational frequency. I asked selenite to clarify further, and this is what selenite explained. Your vibrational frequency is produced by the orchestral synthesis of all your organs, glands, nerves, muscles, fascia, everything. Each cell in your body has a beat. Each organ has a rhythm. Organs and glands and muscles and nerves are organized into systems. Like in an orchestra, you have the string section and the wind section and the percussion section. The body has systems that need to coordinate and integrate coherently to produce a melodious and harmonious vibrational frequency. If some of these instruments are out of tune, there is no way that they can sync up correctly with the whole. Likewise, if any organs are out of tune, they cannot sync up with the vibrational frequency of the whole. For example, if you have a hangover, your liver can't sync up with the rest of your body, and you get a headache and feel queasy, letting you know that your liver needs a remedy. My contribution is that I can tune the vibrational frequency of a lagging organ or gland. This sounds pretty darn good, doesn't it? But how? As per usual, our message is incomplete unless Selenite explains this crucial piece of information. And Selenite answered, "It's easy. Just include me in a white light layout as you have been doing, and people at home can put a piece of me in their pocket and put a piece of black tourmaline in the other pocket. This generates a circuit and helps me to reach everywhere in the energy system in a quiet and systematic manner." Oh, that's easy. A piece of selenite in one pocket and a piece of black tourmaline in the other. Sounds like a good plan to me. I'm definitely going to try that out and see what I get. But selenite has also reminded me to share with you how I use it in crystal surgery. I have a little piece of selenite that looks exactly like a crochet hook. I use it to perform microcrystal surgery by scraping plaque off nerve endings. Now that I understand how selenite embodies all three manifestations of solid, liquid, and light, I get a feel for why this little selenite hook is so very effective. Selenite is to the crystal world what satin is to the world of fabric. It adds shine and radiance, providing a necessary finishing touch, as well as enhancing, brightening, and integrating the whole. Selenite has unique capacities, making it a necessary and versatile tool in the kit. The best part is that selenite is readily available in all parts of the world, and it is not pricey at all. Thank you, selenite, for your fantastic work and your fantastic, clear explanations about what you do and how you do it. Everyone, you've been listening to The Chaperone Show, where Viv and Neil explore this big adventure called life. Please join us again next month.